We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Let's bring in our brother. Bring in our brother, our friend. We've got to know him over the last couple years. Ian Williams, former 49er defensive lineman. Not doing big things with NBC Sports Bay Area, as long with us here at 95.7 The Game. Ian, saw you protesting over the weekend peacefully, and we applaud you for doing that, using your platform to speak up. Ian, good morning. How are you feeling today?
Good morning, man. I'm doing all right, Bonte, man. Just been trying to, just to keep the peace in San Jose and also get our word out.
How was it out there in San Jose? Can you, we saw some of the videos here. Just what made you, first of all, what made you go out there to protest in San Jose? What made you go out there, Ian?
Well, first off, I didn't even know San Jose was doing anything, and I took a nap earlier Friday, and I woke up and I saw on CNN that San Jose was on there. I was like, oh shoot! So I had them there down there protesting, and then I saw an officer had got punched, and there was a commotion and stuff like that. So I was like, all right, you know what? I got to do something. Though I didn't know they were going to be down there, so I headed down there. And at first, I got down there. It was cool. I had Caps jersey, and I'm just walking up and down the line, just trying to keep everybody cool and just say what you need to say, have your posters out. And then there's a few people in the back just came, like, straggle in, and they threw some rocks and threw a couple bottled waters at the cops. And that's when all hell broke loose, and they started shooting the flash bombs and the rubber bullets and stuff like that. And that's when it got pretty scary for me, because I had never really experienced anything like that. And that was my first time being at a protest. And one of those flash bombs, like, burst, like, probably a few feet away from me, and my ears were ringing. I kind of ran off, and I had left Caps jersey. All the commotion, it had fell out of my hand. I just started running. I wasn't thinking, and I ended up going back to the scene, and obviously the jersey was gone. I don't know if the cops took it or somebody else took it. I'm sure somebody else took it. It was the authentic jersey too. Good thing he ain't signed or nothing for me. So yeah, and then later on in the day, they kind of we were over by the Fairmont, that park right there, and they kind of like pushed us into that area. For the most part, you know, at that time, you know, we were pretty much peaceful, but, you know, they started shooting some more flash bombs and some more rubber bullets and stuff like that. There was a guy in a crowd that got hit in the pinky, and kind of his pinky was hanging by the flesh. And, you know, this is the little things that, you know, the protesters for the most part out here were being peaceful. And then later on that night, that's when it got a little bit bad, where as people were leaving out, they started like trying to bust windows. I forget the street is, but it's perpendicular to the Marriott downtown San Jose. They were just busting. It's like a yogurt land down there. They're trying to bust the windows. I was like, yo, like the kid was like about to grab a Uber scooter and about to bust the window. I'm like, bro, like, don't do that, man. Like, he's like, why? I'm like, that's not why we're here. We're not here to vandalize and break down businesses that had nothing to do with it. Like, this business didn't do anything to you, so leave them alone. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, you wouldn't want somebody else going to your home and breaking down windows in your home. You would get mad too, right? That's why they shooting at us. So like, chill out. But that's pretty much what happened Friday. And then Saturday was chill. And then Sunday, I went down there. Kim, one of our photographers for the Niners, she came down and joined me. And it was a peaceful protest in front of a city hall at San Jose. It was a good time. I saw a lot of good people down there. But the main thing was, I remember she had a friend that came out, and I guess they text her saying, is it okay that my 15-year-old comes out? And I just said, like, you know, it's just, you know, I don't know if it's going to be safe or not for her to come out, because, you know, I don't know these protesters like that. You know, like, I don't know if it could be that random person that throws something, and then next thing you know, all mayhem happens, and I'm walking up and down. I pretty much just try to keep the peace, you know, amongst the line. You know what I'm saying? I understand you people want to say things. I appreciate everybody that was out there. It was just a melting pot of races out there, and I love seeing it. Because there's so many people standing up for us that, you know, don't look like us, don't look like me. And that's the change that we need. We need everybody to be speaking up. But there was an instance where I was like just walking up and down the line, just trying to keep a distance between the protesters and the cops. And there was a lady, two black girls, and they were just, you know, they were kind of crying and staring at the officer's face. And I was like, sweetie, I know, I feel your pain. I'm black too. I got kids too. Like, I feel you, but just back up. Because, you know, a friend of mine just said they're asking if their 15-year-old would be safe to be out here. So if you stand too close and now all of a sudden commotion happens, that 15-year-old won't be safe. So and we want that 15-year-old to be able to come out here and see what's going on so that they can be a part of the next generation that carries the torch so that we can continue to fight racial injustice and what's going on to minorities in this country. But for the most part, I want peace. I want change. I don't want no violence. And then for the people who, you know, care more about, you know, the properties and the buildings than a man's life, I mean, you're part of the problem. I mean, I understand, you know, that's not the way to do it, like rioting, but like, what do you expect when you don't make change, when you don't listen to people for years and years and years, and things just keep constantly happening? Hashtags every other week, every other day. And then Ahmaud Arbery and then Breonna Taylor, like all like within like weeks. And then George Floyd, and it was just so much, especially for that town in Minneapolis. People are like, well, why are they doing that to Minneapolis? Why are they doing that to the Target? Well, they were peacefully protesting in Minneapolis, and then when the commotion started happening, they started shooting the tear gas, the people went to that Target to try to get milk and supplies to kind of help with the wounds and pour out some the milk in their eyes to help with the tear gas. And the Target denied them. So that's why they looted that Target and destroyed that Target. And then around that city, you know, it's been multiple instances where that's where Philando Castile was shot. And his officer went free. Nothing happened to his officer. So, and then also the Minnesota Lynx, you know, the basketball team, when Eric Garner, I think it was Eric Garner, got choked out in New York, you know, they protested and they wore their I Can't Breathe shirts. And as soon as they stepped onto the court, the Minneapolis police left the court. You know, left the stadium and just left, you know, left the team and the organization without any security. So, you know, little things like that have happened in Minneapolis over the years. So that's why, you know, it had boiled over to that point. And there was also another officer, Mohamed Noir, I can't really say his last name, that, you know, shot a unarmed woman, and it was an accident, and he got 12 and a half years. And they did that immediately. So, you know, it's been certain instances where it's been boiling over in Minneapolis. So that's why it happened like that, because those people hadn't been heard, and that was their way of being heard. So, but out here in San Jose, George Floyd didn't happen here in San Jose. So there's no need for you to destroy the buildings. There's no need for you to destroy this and da da da. Now, I do want to say, what happened in Oakland with those two officers, the two federal officers, that was disgusting. And whoever did that, I'm not with that. I'm not with that. That's just wrong right there. Those people have families. They probably had kids that they won't be able to go home to now. Don't go around and be shooting random people. That's not the point. That person didn't do anything to you. So if I can say anything to the people out there trying to protest, trying to get their forces across, do it peacefully and do it correctly. And that's how we're going to do it. And then get into the voting booths later on this fall and vote and beat them up in the booths. You know what I'm saying? Shoot them up in the booths. Don't shoot them up out on the streets where you don't even know who this person is. You know what I'm saying? So that's pretty much my whole little gist of what happened Friday and Sunday. And I'm looking for some things to do this week. I'm hoping people reach out to me if they have any protests, especially here in the Bay Area, like relatively close. I mean, I'm going to have me drive all the way up to Vacaville or somewhere like that, you know, to drop off supplies. Like, come on, people. Like, right. Be realistic, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm only one person, you know. I can only, Santa Claus can only get so far. I just want to drop off, you know, food, water, milk, whatever it may be for people trying to protest, because that's what this is, man. We just need everybody to stand up and say something and speak out, because it's those people who fall through the cracks that I can't reach that maybe that one follower that I have that lives in this one town that I've never been to that has, you know, some questionable people that can possibly hear a message or hear a post or see a post and be like, all right, I see what they're saying. All right, I should stand up or I need to change my ways. And that's how it needs to be. You know what I'm saying? It's all a buddy system now. You know what I'm saying? It's all pay it forward now. And that's what we need. We need everybody to be speaking up because it's not just a black problem. It's a humanity problem. We're all human beings. We all got red in our veins. We all born and we all die the same. You know what I'm saying? So we're all the same. We just have different pigmentations because of where we were born. You know what I'm saying? So it's just. I'm just proud of to see, you know, all the protesters out there just trying to be peaceful and trying to do the right thing.
Ian, you're also a big man, you know, and I'm wondering when you were out at the protest, is there a way you can, like, do you feel like more eyes are on you than, let's say, would be on someone like me, just a 5'11" white guy? I mean, do you feel like when you're out there, you really have to mind your P's and Q's more than other people?
Not really. I mean, I'm out there to just police us, you know what I'm saying? And make sure that there's a line in between us and the cops. And if it gets too crazy, I try to like, hey, calm down. I also turn my back so I don't get hit in the face or something with one of the rubber bullets because I saw the damage those can do. But for the most part, no, I don't want the eyes on me. I want the eyes on the people who are protesting with the signs that they have come up with some clever phrases or whatever they see. They felt that they were compelled to say that they want these officers to see. I want the officers also to see the people. You know, these are the people that you are supposed to be protecting. When you sign, when you give that oath that you are here to serve and protect, you are laying down your life to protect another person's life. So that other person's life is more important than yours when you have that badge. And I want, you know, both sides to be able to see each other and understand we are both people. Just because you have a badge and a different color suit on and you have a gun doesn't make you any more different than me with a pack of Skittles and Arizona sweet tea, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm no different than you. You just have a badge and a gun. Like, we're still people. We're still the same.
Hey, Ian, props to you, man, for going out there, you know, putting in work. I was on my couch with the remote. You know, I'm down for the cause, but I didn't go out lightweight, scared to. And just seeing you go do what you said you were going to do, man, that was awesome. Let me ask you this. I'm telling the fellas, I got a lot of thoughts going through my head. What do you find more offensive? The fact that it took Minnesota to tear stuff up for the cop to get charged, which now I'm looking at it like they only did that to appease the masses, or the fact that the other three cops haven't been charged?
I would say the whole thing, you know, just the fact that you had to go out there and tear down a city just to make sure someone gets taken to jail. Not kidding. You know, there's no charges that have happened yet. And it's just sad. And I hope just people just see this is the system. And Sean King, who's an activist who posts a lot, who keeps everybody pretty much informed of what's going on with racial injustices, he said pretty much the system's working exactly how it was meant to be. And that's the crazy part. It's working perfectly. It's meant to protect the people who are supposed to be protecting us when they do something wrong. And you shouldn't have to force minorities or a group of people to have to destroy anything to get their point across so that justice can be served. The justice system is there to protect us and oversee until you are guilty. You're innocent until proven guilty. And for the most part, especially up there, it has not been going on in this country. It has not been going on correctly as it states in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. I don't know if y'all remember. I remember every day in class, growing up, elementary, middle school, high school, every day before school started, what did we say? What did we sing? The national anthem. Every yep. day, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States yep. of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Those last words, we said that every day since I was 4 years old until I was 18 and graduated and went to college. I said those words every morning, and I didn't realize not one time that those three words at the end didn't register and didn't fit me because I was black or I was a darker skin color. So it's little things like that. And then Guru, you don't have to be out there. I know you support. I know you're there with us. You don't have to be because you got a voice, bro, and you're using your platform to speak out and reach out people. You don't have to go out there and do what you need to do. Just like back in the 60s and the 50s and the 70s for the civil rights movement, not everybody was out there. You know, there was people who had to work, had to do other things, but they were right there hand in hand, shoulder in shoulder with those people who were out there doing the marches and risking their lives. Just because you're not risking your life out there don't mean you're not risking your life when you step outside, you go to work, or you go to the grocery store. So I know you're right there with me, Guru.
Right on.
That's well said, Ian. Ian Williams here on 95.7 The Game, and we thank you for the time today. Just real quick, you talked about the Kaepernick jersey, and I saw that photo of you with the Kaepernick jersey, and I'm a little sad that you did lose that authentic, because authentic jerseys, man, they're one of a kind. speaking of Kaepernick, though, to me, Ian, let me know if you feel me on this one. Like, to me, it irks me that I see a lot of think pieces now that's saying, oh, man, Kaepernick, this is what Kaepernick was talking about. Oh, man, how could we miss the message here? Where it's just like, it felt like all the narratives tried to make us forget what the original message was. And this weekend, when we see all the headlines and we see the newscasts and they're talking about the looters and the protesters, it feels like they're trying to make us forget what the original, how this all originated, what this originated from. The George Floyd murder. That's what it's all about. It's about George Floyd. Arbery. It's about all these guys getting murdered. It feels like the narrative is shifting again, like the Kaepernick incident. How do you feel about that, Ian?
Well, first thing about Cap. So that whole thing right there, it's, if you just look at how it all went down and how fast forward a few years later, how and where we are now, the irony of him taking a knee, like just look at the irony of it, him taking a knee and then fast forward a few years later, an officer takes a knee on a man's neck for almost 10 minutes and kills him. Like you can't, like you, Hollywood couldn't even script this up. This is real life reality. And he did it. And he was a Simpson. He went into the future, came back, knew what was going on, and tried to take a knee and tried to warn the country, tried to warn the nation, this is where we're going. And somehow, some way, people lost the message of what he was trying to come across and speak out against. He even reached out to a Green Beret who used to come and speak to us when we had Harbaugh in our little meetings, say, hey, man, what should we do? What should I do so I can do this correctly? And he told him, I need you to take a knee instead of sitting down. And he did that. And people still want to twist it that he's disrespecting the flag. Bonte, let me ask you this. When else is he supposed to protest? When is he supposed to take a knee? Is he supposed to take a knee on Monday when he's in meetings, getting prepared for the Chicago Bears? Where nobody's around? No. Is he supposed to take a knee in front of the media when on Tuesday when he's on the field practicing? No. Is he supposed to take a knee when he gets to the stadium and he starts warming up when everybody's supposed to be warming up? Is he supposed to sit there and take a knee? Like, what are you doing, Cap? You're taking a knee. What are you doing? Is he supposed to take a knee the first series when he snaps the ball? Is he supposed to just take a knee on first and 10? You know what I'm saying? When is he supposed to take a knee? That's the problem with people. When is it okay to protest?
Right.
Because if you silently protest, it's not okay. If you riot, it's not okay. Can you vote? It's like no way to protest to please people. Like, and that's my question. How else do you want people to protest? Because now when you push out and you alienate a silent, a peaceful protester, this is Minneapolis is what you get. What you're seeing on CNN across the country is what you get when you peacefully protest and you get blackballed or you get called an SOB by the president of the free world. It's little things like that add up, and now you're seeing the culmination of what has happened over the past few years of just not being heard and no change is happening, and it's only going to get worse. And I'm just hoping, I'm praying, just like you said, that the charges is like they just threw those charges on just to get them out there. Like the murder charge probably won't stick because they have to get enough evidence. I know they want to go for first and second, but they don't have any evidence for premeditated. But that manslaughter, especially in many Minnesota, I think it's like 20, 25 plus years. So hopefully they get him on that and they fully get him on that. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. I still think it's a possibility that him and Derek Chauvin, the officer, they had to have known each other because they worked at that club, that the El Nuevo club. They did security work, and there is no way that you do security with somebody and you don't know who you're working with because you're doing security. That's the whole point of doing security, knowing everything so you can secure and protect people. So there is no way that they didn't come across each other. And maybe something happened one night where one person took it too far or didn't take it too far. And it's like, oh, you like that? Okay. Oh, you like that? Well, you're not a real cop. All right, let me catch you in these streets. Let me see what happens in these streets. Mm-hmm. And that's like, it has to be more, because when I'm looking at the video and I see Derek Chauvin on this man's neck and the way he's looking at him, that's like, it's just like, yeah, I got you now. That's the way it looked to me. So, like, little things like that, this is what this country is seeing. And that's what you're seeing on TV now is a response to that. And it's just sickening. And I just hope it ends, because if not, like, it's like the Rodney King riots. Like, all those officers got off, and they tore that city down. And as of right now, you're seeing the whole country being torn down. So I can only imagine if those officers get off and they get, you know, non-guilty verdicts, it's gonna be even worse. And I pray to God that something like that doesn't happen, because justice needs to be served. And this is exactly what people are rioting and looting for, because justice needs to be served. Not looting. Like, what y'all over here stealing Prada and going to Dior? Like, well, like, what's that gonna do? Like, how's that? Like, what are you doing? Like, come on now. You know, come out here and protest and let your voice be heard. But yeah, I'm just over here rambling. But you get my point.
We definitely get it. Steiny, you got one for Ian? You got one last one?
No, just, you know, you started by saying, you know, you went down there just to get the word out, is the phrase you use. What's that word to you, Ian, that you want to get out there?
We all equal, man. We all God's children. We all equal. We all deserve manifest destiny. We all deserve to be able to wake up, go to the store, and feel unthreatened, just like any other person that doesn't have any darker skin feels unthreatened with their days. I have friends from high school that I've been getting in arguments with because they're out on the boat relaxing. And I had a friend post on her story the other day, like, I'm just going to sit this one out. So I messaged her, and I messaged everybody that we went to high school with, like, hey, what is up with this person? Really? So you sat in class, cheated off me. We hung out, we partied, whatever, together. We were in high school. And now all of a sudden, I need you to fight for me. I'm fighting for my life out here. I'm fighting for people who look like me. You can't even fight for me. Like, really? It's like that? When I say the word, it's your voice. I need your presence. I need your voice. I need everything about you, because I am literally fighting for my life. Just like you would be fighting for your life, and I would try to do my best to be there. I'm fighting for my life, and minorities are fighting for their lives. Hispanics, Latinos, Blacks, Arabs, Middle Eastern people, all people who aren't white are fighting for their lives right now. And we need everybody who's white, Black, brown, purple, green, yellow, whatever color you are. It don't matter. Everybody is everybody. We all came from one person. We all the same. We just have different pigmentation. That's the word. We all equal, man. And I hate that people look at people like that. Like, I have never been taught to look at somebody by the color of their skin and judge them. I wasn't taught, and I wasn't raised like that. I wasn't raised like that. My mom did not raise me like that. I had been around. I went to predominantly, my high school was mostly Black and Hispanic, and then the whites were pretty much the minority in my high school. And then I go to college, which is predominantly white, a Catholic white school. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I had a great time up there. I loved it, and people loved me up there. So I've never looked at anybody like, oh, you're white, or okay, this and that. I've never, never, and I never will. And I hope this changes in this country, because we are all the same. Now, are there bad people? Are there good people? Yes, of course. There's good and evil. We've been taught that. We know the Bible. We know Revelations. We know all this. We know common sense. There's good and bad people. We know this. Duh. We're adults. Now, my 3-year-old may not know that because she's a 3-year-old. But us adults who have common sense, we should know these types of things. Good and bad is always like that. But for the most part, we're all equal. We're all people.
Ian, well said, man. Well said. Glad you came to join us today, man. We thank you very much. If you come up to the city today, shoot me a text, man. I'll come out there and join you. If you're passing out water or whatnot, I'll come out there and join you and make sure we're fighting a good fight, man. You're a good dude, Ian. We love you. And stay safe out there.
I appreciate it. And then the last thing before I go, Dante Pettis, you know, he's been trying to reach out on Twitter, trying to get something together. And honestly, I'm just going to say this right now. It will be huge. It will be, like, so much love that all the, like, celebrities and athletes in the Bay Area, we all come together in one spot and we stand together. That would be, like, so dope. Like, think about that.
Yeah.
All the athletes in the Bay Area, like, former, current, past, present, all come together, celebrities, E-40, everybody, GEs, everybody in the Bay Area, just come together and we all stand together and we show that the Bay Area, San Francisco, we're united. You know how the Warriors have the SF Unite and the Warriors Unite? It's time for the Bay Area to unite. You know what I'm saying? I'm not even from out here, and I'm over here rocking with the Bay Area. You know what I'm saying? Man, it's time for everybody to stand up and do this thing together.
And you're doing a hell of a job, Ian, representing for us. You're doing a hell of a job, man. We'll catch up soon and shoot me a text, and we'll come join you, man. Ian Williams, former 49er defensive lineman. Great, great stuff from Ian Williams, who's out there in San Jose fighting a good fight. Fellas, here's what's coming up on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Rob Latall from Black Sports Online will join us at noon to give us his thoughts. Also, more phone calls, man. I see full phone lines here. We're going to let you guys all get on these airwaves and speak. Dame, 211, all you guys are coming up next here on Vontae Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game. And it's sponsored by DuckDuckGo. Fed up with companies selling your data? DuckDuckGo is on it. They help millions of people like you take back their privacy online. With one download, you can search and browse privately, avoiding trackers all for free. DuckDuckGo, privacy simplified.
Now back to Vontae Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Good afternoon to everybody out there. Vontae Steiny, Guru, man, trying to get you through this Monday. We'll be up here and we'll be on these airwaves until 2 p.m. 2 p.m. trying to help everybody out there get their voices heard and try to find some sort of peace here as we go through this as a country. The horrifying events of last Monday with George Floyd. That's what we're on right now because it's bigger than sports. It's bigger than sports right now. We want to hear from the people out there. 888-957-9570. And fellas, let's start with our main man, Dame. Dame in Oakland. How you doing this afternoon, brother?
Hey, fellas, what's happening, man?
What's up, D?
I appreciate the conversation, man. And, you guys, Vontae and Guru, the way you guys are expressing yourself, I want y'all to continue to do so because that's the only way to let some of the steam out. You don't want it to build up and be like, you know, a bomb exploding when it actually come out. So I appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you, Matthew.
Me and you go head up all the time, man, but in these situations, but I really appreciate how you get down and how you there to listen. That story you told about you and Vontae, that was special. And we all got to learn from each other. Like you said, you learned from him. I learned from him too, because you said he was sat there quiet and had a talk with you. I'd have been waiting for you at the work 100%. So by him not doing nothing, I learned from him too. Now, when we start talking about what's going on, and what the answer is accountability, all right? They got this thing in the police department called the blue wall of silence, which means they're not going to tell on each other, and they're not going to hold each other accountable. And until that change, not a march, not a riot, not a vote, nothing's going to help the situation. And the reason why I know, and I'm going to give you a quick little example of what I went through and let you hear it, first-hand experience. I ain't going to say what police departments or whatnot, but I had an issue with a police officer. Mind you, I got police homeboys. I got homeboys that's police, so I ain't got, you know, the kind of issue, oh, I hate cops, woo-woo. But I had an issue with one police officer. He called me on my cell phone and said, I'm coming to kill you. I told him I'd be sitting on the porch. He never showed up, so I called my other homeboy, and I was like, hey, man, if dude come and I knock him off, what's the deal? He said, damn, he could come all the wrong that he wants to. We still going to back him up no matter what. He show up at your house and he do whatever. And if you win, we still going to back him up. That's the blue wall of silence. And that's coming from one of my homeboys who had my back. You understand me? To explain it to me like that. So, damn, don't do nothing. That's a cold, cold reality that we got to deal with. They're never going to tell on each other. You see how long it took for this to happen? You see how long it took for them to get the cast that killed Albury?
Yep.
It's crazy. Matthew, I'm going to get off this. I need to ask you a question. You talked about how you play basketball, and it helps you be around different people. And by you working with Guru and Bontai, it helps you learn from different people. Do you think that somebody who hasn't had the experience that you have, do you think they look at this situation and look at that video and don't see the bad in it? Like, is it possible that they cannot see the bad in it? I just don't understand, brother. So enlighten me. Again, I appreciate y'all. One love to all three of y'all. Matthew, next week, I'm going to be on your head again. But today, one love to y'all. God bless.
Thank you, Dame. Thank you, Dame.
I mean, I just think that if you're, you know, if you're a white person that has not had a lot of experience with black people, when you see something like that happen, I think automatically you don't have the empathy that a person would have if they have those kind of people in their life. Unfortunately, if you're isolated from black people and people of color, you look at them as the other, somebody different, not like me. But the more you integrate yourself into other people's lives with different skin color, you can just start to understand. You're never going to get there. You're never going to understand it all, a guy like me. But you got to try to learn as much as you can, and then take what you learn to other people who might need to learn themselves.
Cool.
Yeah, no, that was well said, Steiny, and Dame had a lot of good points. I just kind of want to ask you two, when do you think this ends? I have no idea, and I got to be honest, I thought Saturday night was so much that, you know, people wouldn't be protesting. I know there's no scoreboard, but Bontai, they're doing it in your city, they're doing it in Walnut Creek, everywhere. When do you guys have, if I ask you that, is there any way to even remotely answer that? Is it about these three officers? Is it about them getting arrested?
Well, it's a start. It's a start. That would be a start. That would be a start.
I'm with you.
And you got to start from somewhere.
I'm totally with you.
But is it going to end anytime soon? It hasn't ended in 400 years. It hasn't.
Wow.
And so, I mean, it didn't end with Martin Luther King Jr., didn't end with Malcolm X, didn't end with Muhammad Ali, didn't end when Bill Russell, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Jim Brown all got together, and many more. You know, but it's a start if you do bring down justice on these officers in Minnesota. That's a start. You got to start somewhere, and hopefully it starts with the situation with George Floyd. Let's go out to Michael. Michael's in the Bay. Michael, you're on 95.7 The Game. Good afternoon. Michael's gone. What about 211 in Fremont? 211 in Fremont.
What's up, fellas? You know me, I usually call and I'm like live, but it's just crazy, man. It's a lot to take in. The last caller and then your guy you had an interview, Ian, if I said his name wrong, I'm sorry. A couple things I have issue with. Let me start by saying this. It starts at home on both sides. It starts with the upbringing. It starts with teaching your kids what's right and what's wrong, and racism is not acceptable whatsoever. It starts at home when you tell your kids, F the police, and the police are always the bad guy. It starts at home when you say that group of people that are colored or whatever ethnicity are always up to no good. It all starts at home with upbringing. And I'm going to tell you right now, you got to get your kids involved. Get that mentality. I have so many friends that would be great cops, but they say, no, I don't want to be a narc. I don't want to be a snitch. We got to get rid of that whole mentality and come together and work together. It's not going to change until we all come together. And you know what, man? That's why I'm glad I was born and raised in California. We're so diverse that we might not see some of the crazy stuff that you hear about, like what happened to that young man, as often. But it happens here, but we might not see it as much. And I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but I'm glad that I'm in California because we're diverse. We're a melting pot here. You know what? I don't know about everybody else, but I feel like we love each other. I got friends of all ethnicities. And I just want to say, man, I'm going to put everybody in prayer. I'm going to pray for you guys all. And if, you know what? If you're faithing, you're saying that's cool, but I'm still going to pray for you regardless because that's what I'm about. And we're all God's children, like he just said, man. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's just corny. But if you go listen to Furious speech on Boys in the Hood, how they want us to destroy ourselves, burn down our neighborhoods, they can come in and rebuild these things more glamorously and push low poverty people out. It is real. That speech is legit. I'm telling you, it's corny, but it's legit. Talk to you guys later.
Thanks to 11. That speech he's talking about, Steiny and Goo, remember on Boys in the Hood, Lawrence Fishburne goes to a neighborhood. There's a billboard, and he talks about how, you know, how the Chinese keep everything in their hood, how the Jewish people keep everything in their hood. And he says, look at us as black people killing each other and destroying our properties, and people are scooping up in there and building condos and building housing and building grocery stores to make a profit off of us. And that speech in Boys in the Hood was real. Spike Lee was on CNN, and R.C. Davis, of course, producer for Warriors Radio here. R.C., we love R.C., and he texted me, said, turn to Spike Lee on CNN. He's wearing a Niners hat, and he's spitting the gospel. And what he was talking about was Radio Raheem in his own movie, Do the Right Thing. Radio Raheem, when he got choked out by the cops. And he basically said, you know what? Mr. Gardner, what happened to Mr. Gardner? What happened to George Floyd? It's the same damn thing that happened in my movie 25 years ago. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Yeah. So how do we change it? To a degree, I do agree with 211 when he says it starts in our own homes. It does. It does. But what happens when we go out there and teach our kids, hey, this is what's going to happen? It still happens. You know, and that's what I thought we saw this past weekend. It's just a lot of people fed up from doing the right thing and trying to do the right thing and trying to fight the good fight, and it just falls on deaf ears. It falls on deaf ears, and then here's the reaction. We start burning down things, and all of a sudden, oh, man, we all care now. We all care now. But it's got to start this weekend. If this weekend didn't open up people's eyes, fellas, then I don't know what weekend will. If this doesn't open up people's eyes, then we really do have no hope in America to try to make, quote-unquote, all lives matter, to try to make black lives matter. You know, if it doesn't happen after this weekend, then when is it going to happen, Goo? When is it going to happen, Steiny?
What's scary. And that's what's scary, fellas. And we can go back to the riots in Watts. Again, to Rodney King, Oscar Grant, Eric Garner. We've seen this. Now, we haven't seen it this amped up, but I just want to get something off my chest, fellas, and get your thoughts on it. I saw a video right before I got on air where a car, predominantly white folks, stopped the car and offered a group of young black men a brick. And the lady came out of nowhere, and she goes, what are you doing? And I'm watching this. And they offered the black kids a brick. Like, go mess up your neighborhood. And then I don't know if you saw Friday night Minneapolis, if I'm correct, they arrested like 7 or 9 people, and 7 people weren't even from the neighborhood. Like the agenda was just, let's help you tear up your neighborhood. And if you step back and think that's not true, you're being blind and naive. So there are groups of people that have agendas, to echo what you just talked about, Bonte, where it's operation mess up your neighborhood, and we want that to happen. We want you to tear it down, and we're here in disguise with hammers and what have you to wreck shop. And that's when I had to step back like, oh, this is so deep. This is so bigger than just everybody trying to politely protest. There are people out there, fellas, that want to see the community burn down, and they'll do anything to help you. So I don't know if you guys saw that, but it's deep, and those people need to be, you know, dealt with as well. But that's what hurts my heart when it's like, damn, a guy lost his life, men and women, and you people would take this opportunity to just cause mayhem to the cities. Wow. That blew me away, fella. So I'm feeling some type of way about that. Don't know if you two seen that, but it's out there.
I mean, the one thing I'll say is that there should be no doubt, if anybody was watching television this weekend, this has been different colors doing things. This has been, you know, good and bad. There have been plenty of white protesters breaking windows, spray painting, doing all that kind of stuff. So we have seen, like, to me, the best part has been the different people coming together. But I think the one thing that I'm worried about is if, despite what we've all seen with our very own eyes, I'm worried that somehow we're going to come out of this and they're going to make it about some more specific group than every race, because we were all out there. We were all out there this weekend, if you know what I mean. And don't try to rewrite that weekend by saying it was any certain group of people. It was everybody.
No doubt. Let's go out to Marlon and Vallejo, 888-957-9570, if you want to chime in here and get your thoughts off on what's happened over the last week in this country. Marlon, you're on BSNG here on 95.7 The Game. Good afternoon.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call and giving the ability and platform for the listeners to speak out on this, man. Definitely appreciate that. I got a lot of motion going on right now, but I definitely want to try and make this call constructive as much as possible. The first point I do want to make, if people are out there asking themselves, you know, how can I help? How can I, you know, what do I do to get a better understanding of what's going on in this social climate right now? The best thing you can do, first and foremost, educate yourself. That's what you got to do. You got to educate yourself to become more aware of what's going on. You know, there's a lot of resources online that you can do research off of. Or if not, I know many of us have grown up with black classmates, black friends, black coworkers, black neighbors. Talk to these people. Get a better understanding. Ask them what it is about these things that bothers them, so you can allow yourself to become more aware of what's going on. Because I'm not going to lie, guys. Okay, I'm going to speak directly to my peers here. I'm a first-generation Filipino-American, born and raised in the city of Vallejo. I see way too many people, my peers, that are literally eating off the plate of black culture, the way we dress, the way we move, the music we listen to, the way we carry ourselves and move about in regular business. It's influenced by black culture. And to see my peers, when these things go on, to turn their back and not defend the people that we were influenced by, it makes me sick, because it's not like my Filipino Americans out here are wearing barongs, which is a Filipino thing. We're not out here preaching that. We're literally assimilating to what we see here in America. So we need to do our due diligence and educate ourselves so we can empathize with these people. Because it's wrong for us to turn our back and be silent. And then when everything blows over, we go back to it right again and act like it's nothing. That's completely wrong. So to all my fellow Filipino-Americans, Asian-Americans, first generation, go out there. Make yourself more aware. Educate yourself. Speak to these people and learn and unite with them. Because you know what? If it wasn't for black people, what other? We don't have no place here in America. People, just the same way they're going to tell, you know, Arabs to go back home, whatever, they're going to tell Filipinos, go back to the island. Go back to the Philippines. You don't belong here. It's the same thing. So we can't turn our back on the black community. We just cannot do that. The silence, I'm sorry, guys, it makes me sick. I can't do it. But other than that, thank you for taking my call. Bless to everybody out there.
Thank you, Marlon.
Thanks.
Thank you, Marlon. Jalen Rose had a good soundbite about that same issue, you know, and taking the culture and using it and mimicking it, and it's all good, right? It's all good. And then things like George Floyd happened, and everybody goes to silence. And I know some people out there have gone silent on me. I know. And what Marlon's saying, I hear him. I feel him. Let's go to Coach P and Fremont before we get to the break, fellas. Coach P's gone? All right. 888-957-9570 if you want to share your thoughts on what's happened over the last week. How do we come up with a solution? How? What are the steps to take to make this country better again? What is the steps to take to make sure that black folks don't have to go out there and fear for their lives every single time they're out there in the streets or driving around, having fun? Even if, you know, like George Floyd, was he an angel? Was he innocent? No. $20 counterfeit bill or whatnot. We'll get more details on that, but is that really worth
deserve to die.
Somebody? Yeah, exactly. 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 $20 counterfeit, yeah. You know, go ahead, Goo.
And Ian kind of gave me out saying, I got a platform and all of us do. And, you know, and I appreciate you too. And management for letting us just voice how we feel. But I was talking to my buddy Rutherford Saturday night and he came up with, he goes, you know what? And this was about cops because I have friends that are captains on the force in Oakland and policemen. So I know all policemen are not bad. But Rutherford came up with this. He said, you know what? Us as citizens should have the power to where if we see a police officer doing wrong or using excessive force, we should be able to intervene and kind of quote unquote arrest them. And I go, you know what? That's so crazy. It's never going to happen. But I thought to myself and I ended the call with them. Like, thank you. Even though that's not going to happen or I perceive that will never, ever happen, thank you for Rutherford for even having taken 2 seconds or 20 seconds to come up with that thought because I'm telling you, and I told you when we started the show, your boy's drawing blanks. This is so big, I have no – there's nothing coming out to where I can say this is what we should do to help us get better. And maybe it'll take – a village and us all nationalities. But again, there is no bad idea, but your boy, I don't have any fellas because I feel like I'm just beat down with the subject matter being so big. I don't have a solution and maybe it'll take us all, you know, the mayor and everybody involved to come up with the solution. But I came down Rutherford's Road, my friend, and I just thanked him. Like, hey, Alicia, you thought about it, and that may not come to fruition, but this is humongous, fellas, and I don't have the answer to what we need to do and where we need to start, and that's what makes it frustrating.
Well, the other thing that's come through loud and clear this weekend is just the futility of going up against the police, and you're just no match for the police when they come out in the force that they come out. And I think a lot of times we'll see the result, police and a black man, you'll see the result. You'll see the brutality. But you don't see what happened before that. And I think what that does in some way is it lets the people imagine for themselves, oh, well, something must have happened. He must have done something, meaning the black person who's getting hit. But what we've seen this weekend is guys, women, old, young are getting hit. They're getting knocked over. And I'm not equating that to what happened in Minneapolis. Because obviously one man died and other people are just getting, you know, knocked over or punched or hit with sticks. But what we've seen all weekend is that all kinds of people are getting physically assaulted without a reason. And so maybe now that we've seen that this is happening in this particular weekend to different people of different colors, that we start to realize, huh, well, maybe it's not the guy they're beating up. Maybe it's the way they're doing things. And that's one thing that's kind of hit home to me is just the watching him die like that and those three cops just sitting there and nobody could do anything. And I'm talking about the people that were watching it. Nobody could do anything right. Because they knew if they did anything, they might die too.
Man, that's not the truth. That's not the truth. continue to roll along with this conversation. 888-957-9570. I see you guys on hold there. Stay, hang tight with us. Be patient. We will get to you. We will get to you. But up next is Rob Latall from Black Sports Online and TMZ Sports. He's one guy who uses his platform as an African-American to try to fight the good fight. And I can't wait to have him on. Good friend of the program, Rob Latall, coming up here on BSNG. And it's all brought to you by Fremont Bank, still open to serve the community they love with full service banking.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.